And speaking of being here for years, Dave Pezzo joining us now, fresh off his jaunt to the West Coast. He returns to the mountain. Good to have you back.
It's good to be back, Kevin. How are you today?
You know, that takes a lot of energy, I think. You go to Reno, you come back, and it's like 2 or 3 days. But you Western people, you love to do this. I mean, a 6-8 hour drive is nothing.
It's fun. It's totally fun. You bet.
Apparently. So you're in Reno. Any chance you're meeting with anybody from Silicon Valley? Maybe that you're meeting halfway?
Yeah, Musk. Sort of, you know, he's got a big plant there.
I know you're a fan of Musk as well. So.
Well, it's amazing what some of these folks are getting away with. Honestly, Kevin, I think we're getting people are waking up to the idea that people actually have to have real financials, can't say and do whatever they want, meaning, you know, Tesla. And also, we're seeing some real pushback as far as, if you will, privacy and things like that, selling data. I mean, Facebook promised, I think it was 2012, they got in trouble, said they'd get better and didn't. So I think there's coming. I'm hopeful that we're going to see some more pressure coming from D.C. This has really gotten to be pretty bad.
Now, wait a minute. You're advocating for the government to do something here. Now, I remember the government doesn't do anything well.
They don't do anything well. They do not. I don't want them to do anything. You're right. But we do need them for regulations, and especially when these companies are stealing data and selling it. It's just it's a bad deal. And also, I think the companies, as they get big, when you're taking money from one area and destroying businesses in another, that's the definition of antitrust. And so I'm happy to hear rumblings that they're looking at Amazon, which makes a lot of money in cloud computing, and then, you know, does a lot of money losing over in other areas.
You know, one of my favorite things is the Sherman Antitrust Act, but let's face it, Dave Pezzo, that hasn't been used in years.
Yep.
We've allowed, as you would say, these beautiful, great
corporations of the world.
To quote Dave Pezzo, the great corporations of the world, maybe to get too big. Now, again, we listen to your show from 8 to 10 on Saturday. We go back and forth with you on this. So where do you stand? On one hand, you speak glowingly of the great corporations.
Yes.
But now, you know, me, I'm always, you know, I've got my tinfoil hat on this, you know, and wondering about, when does the government go after them for being too big or being a monopoly?
Yeah, well, I think it's a very fair question. We saw at times where we see what ends up being very important breakups, like breaking up Ma Bell turned out to be technologically an incredible freeing moment. I mean, think about what we used to do is to wait till 11 o'clock at night so you could call for a couple of minutes, which would actually be more like, you know, an entire hour's worth of salary, you know, for people back then. It was pretty crazy. And now you make long-distance phone calls for free. It's pretty amazing. So some of these things are very important. Deregulating the airline industry was huge. So getting government out of those types of businesses and regulatory, it really can help. Now, on the other hand, if you have companies that are too big, as in the old days, but way, way back, where you had oil companies like Standard Oil that was just too big and very anti-competitive, could set prices and did, then we did need to do something about it and break it up, and they did, and created a very, very competitive oil industry. So that's when they should step in, Kevin, when it is not competitive and we have no ability for new people to come in. And I think that's kind of where we are with Google, Facebook. It's tough, and that's why you might need some new regulations there. They certainly can't be selling our private data.
But you could argue that we have that in the oil business. I mean, I can't go in and start Kevin Miller Oil Company. I mean,
why not?
Because of the collusion between the big corporations and everything else. I mean, there's four oil companies that control not only this country, but the world supply of oil and energy and such.
Well, there's a few more than that. But still, I understand your point.
But I mean, they're going to collude. And one of our best movies ever, I think it's the only gift that I've given you, is the Tucker movie about Preston Tucker and what they did to him.
Now, you've done many great things, Kevin. That's only one
things.
Of them.
Yeah.
That's only one of them.
Many
that
memorable
was a very
things.
Great one, yes. And that one, that was a great story. And you're right. No, look, people do not want competition. People are corporations. So pretending that we now create a corporation and it's not run by human beings that are inherently monsters is wrong. I mean, they are, and they're going to do lots of wrong things. And they certainly did with Tucker. They, you know, that's a great example of that, of trying to tamp down any competition. That's part of business, and that's why regulations do exist. So you can't illegally stop people from doing, from getting into competition with you. But Kevin, yes, Kevin Miller, the oil tycoon. I can see it now, and I'm ready to find some financial backing for you, buddy.
Well, I appreciate that. Now, Dave Pezzo joining us here, the Pezzo Center on KIDO Talk Radio. Let's talk a little local issues.
Yeah,
and you like to go out and snowshoe and cross country ski and
like
paraglide and all that stuff.
Well,
and
I don't know about that. I'm a little afraid of heights. I don't think
little literary license here this morning.
Yeah.
Little theater of the mind. So We have Tamarack being purchased, and everybody's saying, "Hey, it's going to turn around." The folks at Channel 7 interviewed the new owner. I think it was Mark Johnson, and said, "Look, we're going to start a little small." This company has had, for a few years, we've had a summer festival up there. And to me, Tamarack has always been challenged. But as someone who knows this industry, this lifestyle, and has covered the story from the very beginning, your thoughts?
Yeah, Tamarack is such a bad location. It's very difficult to get people in and out of there, as you well know, Kevin, from the festivals. It's tucked back in there. It's not and that road north-south is not, you know, it's not wide. It's not great. So it is not. It's a tough location, and we saw that the first go around.
Hold on. Let me just say this because I'm a sissy.
Yeah.
I went there once with my wife, and I didn't go to a festival. I just went there to look at it.
Yeah.
And that dirt road going in and out of there, and maybe it's paved. I don't know.
It's paved.
Felt like dirt to me. I was scared, but that doesn't take much. Two lanes here and there, and I'm going, this is a beautiful place.
Yeah.
But as you've pointed out, the infrastructure to get there.
Yep. Very difficult. And that's part of the problem for all ski resorts, all beautiful areas like that. But yes, I went up there and did their zip lining and all that stuff. It was a birthday present. It was absolutely fantastic.
See, I told you, paragliding, zip gliding, same thing.
Close.
Yeah.
And so they are making it an all season, you know, little resort area, but it's difficult to get to, Kevin. This is going to be a tough go again. We saw it the first time around. I am thrilled because maybe Idaho's got enough population now. Maybe they've got a price. They're going to start out small enough. I don't know. But if they've got, but where they're sitting at, this is going to be a tough deal. As you know, it's tucked back in there, and they don't have a golf course anymore. All of those things are difficult issues to overcome, but I'm really happy about it and encouraged that somebody sees some light at the end of the tunnel and is willing to put their money up.
Well, you go there, and it's, you know, most of it's all these buildings that are partially built.
Yeah, they're empty. They're just all sitting there. It is you walk in there, it's like a cloud. I mean, it's just like you walked into a ghost town, it's not encouraging. It's a beautiful little setting, and if they can get some activity up and going, it would be very exciting to get that going because it is a beautiful little village.
More on Tamarack, more from Dave Pezzo coming up, but I have a review from our interview on Saturday morning.
Oh,
couple
boy.
Couple reviews.
Yeah.
And if people missed it, this was where you interviewed me, and you grilled me for an hour.
I did.
Yes.
Are you okay? Are you recovered now?
I'm still recovering from this open and honest interview that we had. First of all, you made my parents cry. I hope you're happy about that.
I am. I'm very happy about that. That's good.
They were crying from New Hampshire. So, and Mrs. Miller, not to be associated with my mom, she wants to know, since she was working, you know, keeping the wheels of the economy and somebody in the Miller house actually doing something, how can she hear that interview?
She can hear that as soon as Ray downloads that, we upload it onto our website. So we should have that later today or tomorrow.
Pezzo Financial?
PezzoFinancial.com.
And that's anybody who wants to?
Anybody wants to do it. We've got all the archived and articles, all kinds of stuff in there. And if you have some more feedback, then that's also where you would leave that feedback.
Right.
Those
grill them again, Dave. Grill them again.
That's it. But that's exactly where. Go to PetzoFinancial.com and download it. And I actually, as I called in on Friday morning and said, look, you don't, you know, I thought it was, you know, how you walk, you don't know because we didn't listen to it.
Right.
You don't know how it is, but I had a really good feeling about it when we were done.
Yes, it made me cry too.
It did.
I listened to it.
Did you listen
to it?
How
did he get this out of me? Yes.
Good.
More coming up next with Dave Petso, KIDO Talk Radio. Blessed to be a part of your day, Kevin Miller with Dave Petso. Boy, it's been a rough time for your beloved stocks.
Yeah, best week since 2011.
Well, but what about the month?
Yeah. The month of October? Not good.
I read somewhere that this whole year has been wiped out. All the gains have been wiped out. Is that true?
It's true. We're break even for the year. Yes.
I don't know if that's good news.
Well, it's not exactly Armageddon, you know. It's okay. We've had quite a run. This is the longest running time-wise, not the steepest bull market, but the longest running bull market in history. So we'll have corrections, and Kevin will continue to do so. But it is interesting how everybody gets so negative, right? And then bam, when it's all going to be so terrible, you got to be careful. Next year's going to be bad, and so on and so forth. And you get all of the Wall Street folks, the J.P. Morgans and all that. Oh, this is just a sugar high, and next year's going to be bad. When everybody's all uniform like that, you have weeks like this where you go up 5% in a week. And that's quite a nice run. And it's looking good for today as well because of the tariff situation easing up over the weekend.
One issue that has gotten the president very upset is GM last week cutting 15% of its workforce. Your thoughts, your reaction?
Yeah, obviously for the president's jobs and bringing more manufacturing to the country, it's a blow. But I got to say, Kevin, these automobile manufacturers, particularly in the Detroit area, Michigan, with all the unions, they're dead. They're walking dead. They're dinosaurs. This is General Motors, second restructuring. They were bailed out, or they would be gone. They were bailed out by the government, and the unions were, and they still can't figure out a way to move forward. And in fact, the only thing that they were trying to move forward on was an electric car, and now they've pulled that production. So apparently we can only make money on ginormous pickup trucks, and that's it. Apparently, they can't figure out how to make money anywhere else.
Now, there's a fascinating book, and I think I've threatened to get it to you several times. It's called The End of Detroit. And it really shows how the Japanese, after World War II, just recreated their automobile industry and how they took a look at the United States and decided to put a plant in Ohio, then Kentucky, and the southern part of the United States. But isn't really, and you alluded to this earlier, the legacy costs. Mm-hmm. That are really destroying Ford, GM, and Chrysler, or Fiat Chrysler, whatever you want to call them.
They are. That is killing them. And plus, when you have that kind of cost structure built in, you can't really and also all the rules that come with it. You can't lay people off. We can't shift them. We can't close one plant that is inefficient or not, you know, working anymore, and then build another one somewhere else, expand a line that is. You can't make the changes that you have to make, so you are the walking dead. There's no way in this world of super competitive companies that you can turn right around and just kind of do business like a government does. They don't. And that's where they've gotten with all these legacy costs, all these legacy issues, where unions are trying to run them and not allowing them to, if you will, make the changes they need to make. So that kind of legacy cost is burying these companies. It's no different than government. All across the country, we are seeing municipality one after the other that is really struggling. Think about Chicago and all these others. They're having a difficult time. And they can't build the infrastructure because they've got such huge legacy costs with $100,000 a year pensions.
You know, I had a chance to talk to one of your good friends recently, Dr. Tommy Ahlquist.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Ahlquist and I, we were speaking with the mayors of Caldwell, Meridian, and Nampa.
Okay.
The big three.
The big three.
The big three. And we were talking about impact fees, and we were discussing, you know, increasing impact fees. Now, for a new building that his new company, BVA, is building, I think they're going to have to pay $120,000 for impact fees.
Mm-hmm.
Just to get this building built. Nampa has decided that they're going to raise impact fees just to deal with these things. And we've gone on this program for many, many years. Is there any other alternative to this, considering that Ada County shot down the fee increase proposed by ACHD? Of course, I think a big issue they had with that was that the trucks 8,000 pounds and over were exempt. So what do you see if someone said to you, Dave Petso, what's the solution? Is there anything else besides increasing impact fees that you can think of?
I don't. That's a great question. I'm not sure that I've thought about another avenue, because the reality is that's the way it's always been done. But on top of that, it's a way that makes sense to most everybody. It certainly does to my brain. Where you have something that is going to cause an economic impact to an area, why wouldn't you have a fee to just directly assessed from that? So I'm not sure there's bound to be other ways, but are they the right other ways? For example, if I'm not the builder or have an impact, why should I be paying for it? So it's something that I think is the way that we've done it, and I don't know that there is another way.
Dave Petso returning with us here, KIDO Talk Radio. So, we everybody uses the roads. You can have, I would assume that you have many estates, probably a couple homes in Switzerland or what have you, but you still have to use the public roads.
I have a helicopter pilot.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Right, exactly. Exactly. Petso one.
Right.
But you take a look at just our, and Mayor Kling said, look, it's a good problem to have, but everybody moving in, it's congestion, the roads are getting torn up. Where do we go to get that money? It's going to continue to be a challenge. Is that something that the state government can do anything about?
No, not really. The government, we've tried a lot of different things, and I'm anxious to see as time goes by what Governor Little is going to be, trying to do along the transportation front. I know it was a big thing for Butch, but he never got a lot done. There was a few things, Garvey Bonds, all those things. But
he did raise the gas tax.
And he did raise the gas tax. And that's not very popular, but very necessary. And you're not going to hear me say that very often. But I think when we have something directly with transportation, but the
you
problem
agree,
there.
You agree being a tax and spender, you and the governor.
Yeah. A bigger government, the better. Yeah. And but one thing that I think we have to try to do, and that's through the licensing fees. I think that cars that are licensed should have the fees, not necessarily per mile on gasoline, because that's not right. You have the same people using the road next to you that have a Prius. Well, that's not reasonable at all.
And that's funny, because the governor, and we used to have this quote where he said it was unfair that he's got his F-150 and he's paying for all this, and then he's got the Prius. Actually, those were his exact words.
Yep.
Maybe he got the idea from you.
Or vice versa.
Right.
I don't know.
You two operate so together. But you take a look at this, and many people criticize the state of Montana or even California because it costs so much to register a vehicle.
Yeah, and I think that's the only reasonable approach. It's not like these cars are built for free or without some kind of economic or ecological impact,
right?
Environmental. They all are, and batteries are difficult to. I mean, if we're talking about we just want to get rid of fossil fuel, that's one thing. But you're not getting rid of it by pumping up your car with electricity. You're still using the energy grid, so to speak.
But the Prius doesn't beat the roads down like a big 350 or a semi truck.
Well, that's
my little Camry.
Yeah.
Or my little Toyota Forester doesn't really damage the roads at all. I think they help the roads.
Well, that's true, but they help them?
Yeah.
Really? Pray tell.
I don't really have any facts. I just make statements.
Okay,
right.
Okay. Well, that was it's perfect for liberal news then.
Right, exactly.
Just make it up.
Yeah.
Hey, okay. But anyway, you still are using the roads, and they have to be widened for you and your cars because you and 100,000 other people are driving around. So all of that is an impact, and it takes money. And if you're not paying, if we want to pay for it in a gas tax, then only people who use gasoline. And do you use gas, Kevin?
I do.
That's correct. I do too. And I don't have a big tank for a car either, so I don't damage the roads. I also help the roads too. Somehow, I'm not sure, but I'm going to get on your.
Are you going to join me?
I'm going to join you.
Hold on, well, let me just finish though. Are you going to join me in my anti-truck crusade? Because you're in your car, got a nice sedan, and then these big trucks all over the place.
Yep.
It's almost like you're in a canyon.
I know. Well, it's true. But I have some good friends, and I just don't want to get beat up after the program. They have big trucks.
Finally, as someone who loves America, is part of America, your thoughts on President Bush?
One of the last of the greats from the great generation, right? World War II hero. It's amazing. If you haven't had a chance to look at his history, he's really an amazing guy. I mean, a Renaissance man. He's done everything. And I just don't think he was as good a president as I wish he would have been. He certainly had a great mentor in Reagan. And I can't believe he ended up losing to Bill Clinton. That's a tough one. That's a really tough one. He was a very connected. He really had done everything. He's probably the most qualified person to be president of the United States. I know he had to have been. You know, director of CIA, knew everybody around the world.
Right.
He was the guy. He was the guy. And at the same time, he was a humble, kind person, great family guy, and just the kind of guy that you, wish was your dad kind of thing, right? Super guy. But that's the way I think of George Bush and always will.
Dave Petzo, the Petzo Center, Petzo Financial, we appreciate you. Thank you.
Appreciate you, Kevin. And thanks for joining me for Saturday.
And if... Petzo Financial, that'll be up there this morning.
PetzoFinancial.com, you betcha.
All right. Kevin Miller, KIDO Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Today is a very special day, of course. It's 7 Cares Day throughout the Valley, and Channel 7 is going to raise, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of dollars today, because of you. Because of everybody out there, from Twin Falls all the way over to Ontario. I think there's a dozen different places people are going to be. But right now we're going to go to the main headquarters with our Kevin Miller, who is hold on. Boy, I tell you what, that's a problem when rookies are involved. There it is. We got it. There it is. Push the wrong button. Kevin, how are you? It's cold out there, man.
I can always relate to pushing the wrong buttons, Dave. We're here. We're waiting for you. And, you know, I think we should make history because I think, and I've been toying with this for quite some time, perhaps you'd like to do your show next year from 7 Cares out in the cold Albertsons parking lot. I know you're going to be here. Petzo Financial always donates. But what do you think? How about coming out and doing the show in the cold?
I like your thinking. Yeah, as long as I've got heaters and yeah, I mean we'll get a tent set up like you have out at Walmart or something. No, it'll be good. That would be fun. Absolutely, it'd be great. Just seeing all the activities and all the people that just really do care. I love this day because I just love seeing how many people get involved and how I don't know how much joy it brings to them. Obviously, it's going to bring joy to people who are really hurting. But the idea of giving is, it fills you. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, so many of us are blessed that we have heat in our homes, that we have Christmas presents, that we have this. And those of us that have struggled and continue to struggle, this is where 7 Cares comes in. And I just talked to your friend Doug Armstrong moments ago, who started this 11 years ago, and it's grown from one location at Channel 7, Dave, as you know, to 29 Albertsons, 8 Fred Meyers, plus in Twin Falls. It is amazing.
That is amazing. That's astounding. 37 locations here in the Valley, not including Twin Falls.
Indeed. And he's a numbers guy, folks. He figured that. I don't know where to get that one from. But, yeah. And, of course, the main one here at Albertson Stadium, where you can see Mark and Kim and the giant Idaho potato. And it's my favorite location just because it's where all the action is. It's where Dave Petzo will be. And like I said, Channel 7 gives up their time, their efforts, their energy. It's a year-long effort. This is the Super Bowl of giving, and it's a very unique program that you don't have anywhere else but right here in the Treasure Valley.
It is unique, and it just shows really as Reverend Roscoe, who I'm sure is down there or will be down there today as well, but with the rescue mission, but as he always says, it just shows how this is the world's most generous community. He says it better than I do, but something like that.
Well, Reverend Bill was here greeting me at a little after 7 this morning, and you've got the Salvation Army, the Idaho Food Bank, the Boise Rescue Mission. You got kids from Capitol High School. You got Buster Bronco. But, you know, the cool thing is, and I said this earlier on Channel 7, is you have, you know, from the kiddos to the corporate giants, all giving, all coming together. And I know, Dave Petzo, you've been moved by the work of the Boise Rescue Mission, and little kids saving up their money instead of buying a toy for themselves. They donated to Seven Cares. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we see that all across the valley. So I'm looking forward to seeing some of that live and in person, as well as, of course, you know, it's being broadcast by you and all day long and others. And so anyway, it's something everybody can see whether they actually go out and to the locations or not. So anyway, thanks for being part of it, Kevin.
Well, I have to ask you, for you, what's it like when you get everybody in the big Petso Financial pickup and you go down there? And what's that like, that moment where, look, you and your folks, just like everybody else, you earn your living, you earn your money, and then you give. What's that? Can you share with us that moment, Dave?
Well, it's very kind of you to mention it, Kevin, but it's something that also we all enjoy as an office. It's something that we've been involved with this since the very beginning. I actually remember the moment I got the phone call from Doug Armstrong, because I happened to be out of town. And to say, hey, I'm going to do this thing. What do you think about it? And so I remember talking about it with him and at the very beginnings. And to think it's gotten this big is exciting. But for us, it's been something we wanted to participate in and to give back. And it really fills us as an office, as an entity. But also, it's wonderful, Kevin, because really just kind of slowly through the years, we've seen literally thousands of dollars and hundreds of pounds of food that have come in the door. We always have a Christmas party the night before, and people come and bring their checks and add it in. And this year, I think our clients are going to be around $8,000 total on top of the $10,000 we're putting in, Kevin. So it's going to be, and we'll have a truck full of food. It's just, I guess it's really, the reason I mention this is because it's something that when other people come along with you and give as well, it's very encouraging that how much people want to do everywhere, and just having an outlet for it, it just opens it up for people. So anyway, we've enjoyed that for the last, I think it's 8 or 9 years this thing's been going on, something like that. Yeah,
it is. And we can't wait to see you, and we invite everybody to stop out and watch out for Mark Johnson. He's giving big hugs this morning.
Yeah, all right, good. Well, I like hugs from Mark Johnson. You too, buddy.
Oh, hold on. I'm sorry. Here's Reverend Bill. Reverend Bill, you're on the air with Dave Petso. Dave Petso, how are you, my friend?
I'm good, Reverend. Hey, you stay warm out there. I'm looking forward to catching up to you in a couple hours, okay?
Well, we'll look forward to seeing you, brother, and God bless you. Are you on the air with your show right now?
I sure am. Yeah, don't say anything terrible, okay?
Let me say that Dave Petso is one of the finest men in the Boise Treasure Valley area, a man of integrity and the highest character, and I trust you, Dave, exclusively and implicitly, and thank you for all you do.
Well, God bless you. Thank you for saying those nice things. I don't know who that guy is. Thank you. Well, thank you.
I mean it, brother. I'll put you back on with Miller. I'm going to run out here and say hi to these people in the potato truck.
Thank you, sir. You take care. Stay warm.
Thank you. Dave, we'll see you soon.
We'll see you soon. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thanks for hanging out there. We'll see you in a couple hours.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And our number here is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Love to hear from you. We're going to take our break. It'll be the only break left in this hour, so please do ring us up. We'd love to hear from you. We'll be right back. Hello and welcome to Money Matters. I'm Dave Petso, and I'm glad to have you here as well. Please do give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. What's on your mind? What questions do you have financially or whatever? We'll try to answer whatever. Hey, honestly, if we don't know the answer, that's okay. We will try to get that for you best we can. Many times it'll be a tax question, legal question. That's all right. We'll try it. Not that we are trying to practice law, and I will be the first one to declare that. And we'll try to get an answer from a lawyer or an accountant, whatever is necessary. So feel free to fire away. All right, and our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. If you prefer email, it's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. All right. It's interesting, and I want to talk about this in the next hour because I'm going to need more than a few minutes to really go into this as to how difficult it is to buy turmoil, to buy into this. So how hard it is to say, okay, this is what I've been waiting for and I want to pull the trigger. I'm going to talk a little bit about that in the next hour. For a couple minutes, though, as we have left in today's program, I want to touch on this. and how noisy things are. And we say this, but we don't, I think, internalize it to the level we have to have the understanding we need as to how much that noise affects us. We really just kind of go, yep, it's noisy out there. Yeah, I know. People are on their screens too much. Yeah, I know. There's too much data flow. It doesn't bother me, though. I'm okay with it. It's all the other people out there that are having trouble with it. We all do. Because, you see, what I'm about to tell you are a couple of things that fundamentally really are going on. I'll bet you didn't think about them this week. Number one. As far as the trade war goes, the trade deficit widened, yes. But are you ready for this? Total trade hit an all-time high. Now, what does that mean, total trade? What does that mean? If we're having a trade war that's going to bury us all, right? And that's the thought, right? This is a war and all commerce is going to die and the recession, global recession's coming. It's just like the 1920s. Then I ask you this, riddle me this, Batman. Why, how is it possible that October's total trade is at an all-time high? This trade war has been going on for a year now. A year. And October is a record amount of trade. Not in yuan or, I'm not sitting here trying to data mine or statistics lie, liars use statistics, which is why we sometimes have to widen out the shot, don't we? We have to widen the picture. And a quick aside and a quick example of why this is important to understand is that when we talk about how we have a record amount of defaults in student lending and an unbelievable surge in defaults in subprime car loans. We're back. It's 08 again. There's so much debt everywhere and so on and so forth. And you go, wow, the big picture is actually, that's a tiny part of the picture. The big picture is we're in fantastic shape. Households are really at multi-decade lows for the percentage they have to pay back in loans. Oh. And see we focus on some negative tidbit or there's a lot of noise because there's not a lot to talk about on a particular thing. And so we talk about it. And it's the same with the trade war. Instead of grabbing a picture that, look, I mean, we talk to business people. You even hear people, politicians on both sides of the aisle now are kind of like going, yeah, I know. We got to do something about China. They just steal stuff. They just steal it. We can't put up with that. You know, businesses go over there and they have to transfer their technology and then they kick them out. They tax them to death. These guys are crooks. How in bed do we have to go with them? And the answer has become, since Donald Trump took office, we're done. Now, anybody's going to push back. Anybody's going to cause a problem. But tell me this. If there is a war on, if it's killing us, how is it that we have a record high amount of trade? Not what you would expect with a trade war. This week, did you realize that we crossed over to become a net energy exporter? Front page news, right? Headlines, boom! United States of America, the future's so bright, you got to wear shades. Step right up here, folks. Look behind the curtain. They are now becoming a net energy exporter. More energy, more abundance. Hold on, wait a minute. What was the narrative? Oh, yeah, we were going to run out of oil. Our economy was going to die. Yeah, no, that's not it. It's market turmoil. It's not big picture stuff. That's what we get focused on. Did you see that news item? This is a huge global shift. This isn't small. It isn't even confined only to the tiny United States. It's huge. This means the horrible people of the world. I mean, the horrible people in Iran and Iraq. It's just, they're harboring terrorists and trying to develop nuclear bombs. It changes the whole narrative with China. Everything. Everything. Because we can't be held hostage to energy anymore. Wow.
Yes, it's an economic boom. It's huge. But it's also geopolitically a monster as well. A safer United States is a better United States. I like it better. And it is. Front page news, huh? Oh, yeah, I forgot. That doesn't really cut it, because that would be good news. ISM continued to soar. Did you know that this week? That's right. Unbelievable numbers. I mean, it was just incredible. You know, they have like about 20 different subsectors of manufacturing that report, from services all the way to, you know, I don't know, bending metal in different ways, right? So all of these different surveys came out, and unbelievably, something like 19 of them are positive. Meaning, boom times. These are incredible numbers. Front page news, huh? No, not so much. All right, why is it so hard to buy at the turmoil? We're going to talk about that after the break. Thanks for joining us. Hour two upcoming. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us on this wonderful 7 Cares Day. I hope you get a chance to go by any of the locations, 29 Albertsons, 8 Fred Meyer stores, all throughout this beautiful valley, and clear over to Magic Valley as well. It's amazing. It's just amazing how this has grown. I don't know if you caught Kevin calling in and talking about it, but it's just been an amazing thing to watch it grow from one location. And it was big. It was fun. It was such a huge community event. It was very cool. But who would have envisioned? Perhaps Doug Armstrong saw this, but I'll tell you what, this is an amazing. I mean, the infrastructure to do this is just amazing. And all the lives it touches, just congratulations to Channel 7, Doug Armstrong, who's the retired GM over there, and all of us for in this wonderful, generous community. It's a neat thing. It's very unique to this valley. I hope you get a chance to go out and enjoy it. It really shines a light, a very positive one, a very bright light on this beautiful valley. Our number here is 580-5436. It's 580-KIDO. If you prefer email and have a question, a comment, just want to say, hey, whatever, that's dave@petsofinancial.net. All this market turmoil is very, it's not, I don't want to call it common, but it is normal. We get this. In fact, what we've had up until this year is abnormal quiet, not normal. But we have this recency bias. It's what human beings do. Whatever's transpiring today will undoubtedly transpire tomorrow. It's the way our linear brain works. We think about A to B. Well, obviously, that'll just project on to C, but it doesn't. Because markets, life, the world really isn't linear. It's dynamic. Which is why predictions are really stupid. They are, but we all make them. We can't stop ourselves because, again, we're linear, so we assume A plus B is equal to C when it's not. Or if we get lucky and it is C, then we think we're, you know, futurists or something. Not futurists. We're, you know, we just somehow have a vision from God as to what's going to happen. And we don't. Because it's so uncommon to actually be right, we then have another bias, right? The bias of how good we are at predicting things. We only remember the extraordinary, not the normal. So you stop and you think about that, and we think about, okay, so in my mind I'm going, I think the market's terrible, terrible, terrible. I think it could crash, it could crash, it could crash. Okay, and it doesn't. And what do we think? Nothing. We think nothing. We don't go, oh, I'm going to, hold on, excuse me, let me go write that down. Wrong again. Okay. That was another wrong prediction for Dave. Let me put that in the column. No, we forget. And then finally, down the road somewhere, we go, God, this market looks terrible. I think it could actually take a really big beating, and it does. And we go, woohoo, man alive. I am Trader Joe. Look at me go. I know exactly what the market, I know how to zig and zag in this market. We think we're better than we are. At everything, folks. At everything, right? 76% of the drivers think they're better than average. How many college professors think they're better than the average college professor? Final Jeopardy question is 92%. The smarter we are, the less clear about our abilities we are. Oftentimes we take our success in one area and we think that makes us good at others. And it's really quite normal human behavior, but I absolutely am certain I'm not a good doctor. I'm 100% certain I'm not a good mechanic. We all have things we could roll over. So, okay, so I'm just going to give myself, you know what? I'm a really good financial advisor. I am. And maybe some of that skill will roll over and I might become a reasonable, hopefully I'm a good friend. I hear when people are hurting. I can hear them. Maybe a counselor, right? Maybe even some of that is almost like passes over into ministry. In other words, some of the things that I have skills in, I might be okay at. But am I good? No, I'm not good because I'm not practiced. I'm not expertise. I haven't done my 10,000 hours. And to think you're good at it is very dangerous to yourself. And so what we do is we end up taking in news and we think we can project things. This is why it's so hard for people to do what they know they should do. They have said all along they should do. And in the abstract, we will do. Meaning, I know how to tell other people to buy into turmoil. You got to buy low and sell high, son, for gosh sakes. But what are you doing, Pops? Well, it's a lot of turmoil out there now. I'm going to let it settle down a little bit first. Did you hear that? That's what we do. It's exactly what we do. In the abstract, we say, I want to grab on to great corporations when they have a discount. That's what I want to do. Can you imagine if you got a chance to be able to buy Amazon or Google or Apple after they've gone down like 25 or 30%? I mean, who gets to do that? We get to do it periodically. So, what's the news now? Oh, I'm not going to buy Apple yet because I think it could go to 150, right? I'm at 160. Ah, bark, bark, bark. How many iPhones? Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't look good for iPhone sales. I don't know. I just, yeah. Nah, I don't want to buy any of that. But we can't wait to buy it when it's 25, 30, 40% higher. Now, nobody says that out loud. It's like, you know, you go, okay, what I want to do is I want to wait until prices go significantly higher, then I'll buy. That's what I want to do. No, I wouldn't say that. But that's our actions. We see money flows. We see that people do that. I don't just mean you or me. It's our human tendency to do that. So when we get into turmoil, I think we have to stop and go and laugh at ourselves, at our human nature. That simply says, well, my intention would be to buy things at a discount, but I don't want to when they get at a discount. That's our human tendency. What we need to do is not deny that or pretend it's not happening in us. It does happen to all of us. The question is, how strong are you in this area of your life to put it aside and do what you need to do? See, it's really no different than any other discipline. Do you really think all the people in the gym, like said the night before, I can't wait to wake up early and go kick my rear? But you see, they do it because they make a conscious choice to do it. They don't do it because they want to. So when we want to do something, which is what we want as human beings, is to run away when there's turmoil. If we have discipline, we don't do that. We go and we buy the Apples and Googles and Amazons and all the great corporations of the world when they're at a discount, knowing full well that probably tomorrow they'll be discounted even more. But there's absolutely no way to know where the bottom is. So buy some today, buy some tomorrow. But thinking you're going to get it all at the bottom is more than a fool's errand. You can't do it. I don't want to go down there. You know you can't do it. So pull the trigger. So what if you bought last week? Does that make you stupid? It does if you need the money out this week. Yes, that was a bad gamble. It wasn't a bad investment. It was a bad gamble. Because no, anybody that's trading on 1 week basis is foolish, in my opinion. Sure, there's traders, but that's very few. Very few. And it's not you. It's not you. Look, it's very important for us to get a handle on our own emotions. And so we can buy into turmoil. We can buy a discount. Because even though the market is only down a little bit year to date. Yeah, that's right. A little bit year to date. You would think that this was like a catastrophic sell-off. And remember, the press hates Donald Trump. There is just no way they're going to stop beating to death anything economically. I started today's program in the last hour talking about the trade war. Talking about us becoming an energy exporter. And that the manufacturing indices are touching like all-time highs with like 19 out of 20 and showing sectors showing increases. The fundamental economy is doing well, but oh, housing star, that's it. In other words, we find one area, jump on it. Phew. The market's not doing well. Something's going on out there. Something big. It must be the trade war. Well, if there's a trade war, why do we have all-time record trade? There is a trade war, but they're still trading. What should we do with this trade war? Should we... Really? Why don't we just ship over our nukes to China? Why don't we ship over all our technology? We should just demand companies do it. Let them spy. What's the matter with us? Don't you know how dignified and wonderful Obama was with them? That was nice. Everybody pretended to get along nicely while they stole everything. Or do we stop them? It's not going to be after 40 years of letting them steal and steal and steal and steal and expand whatever ambition in the South China Sea they want. Do whatever they want. It's not going to be like they go, you're right, we're done now. They're going to fight too. But I think bottom line is nobody wins in it and everybody recognizes it. But that's not going to make the news. Only it's a trade war. Not the fact that this week announced that we hit a new record amount of trade. Total trade. In other words, total economic activity is at an all-time high. Becoming an energy exporter isn't a little thing. It's a huge thing. Manufacturing at record levels is a huge fundamental thing. Jobs were just a little bit below trend this week. But wages and hours over the last hours worked equals paychecks. Not including the tax break, which is big, are up 5% year over year. I know, another disastrous number. I'm sure you all saw that number too. All negative all the time. And we get market turmoil. It makes it very difficult for us to have the discipline to do what we need to do. It's true of all of us. It truly doesn't matter to a lifetime of income, to a lifetime of investment. What the market does today, this week, this year. do yourself a favor, and I'm serious about this. Don't push the button every day and see what your net worth is. Oh, I don't do that. I only do that once a week. Why? What does it matter? Oh, well, you know, I just kind of want to see. I just kind of want to this, kind of want to that. Really? So it's healthy. You know, when the market's down, it's really a healthy thing. It makes you feel great. You want to go spend time with your grandkids. You want to go hug your wife. You want to just smile and enjoy the beautiful sunset. So let's push the button and see how much money, quotes, we lost. Did you lose any income? Did the companies quit paying dividends? No. No. So does it matter over your, let's call it a 30-year life expectancy in retirement? No. But, you know, but no, there's no buts. Just don't look. If income isn't changing, or it's just rising every year, let's say you have a building. Do you go and push the button and see what it's worth every week? Do you wonder? Do you kind of doodle it? Kind of study the area and see what real estate trends are every week to see what that is when you have no intention of selling it? Do you pay people to, you know, go in and appraise it for you? Of course not. But we want to push the button. Because somehow that dials us in and makes us feel how? It's not a good idea. Look, it's not putting your head in the sand, not at all. Being wise with our emotions and the fact that we are human, and when we do that, it makes it very difficult for us to do the right thing and to stay disciplined. Once discipline becomes a habit, right? It's not hard to do. It's a habit. I just get up and go to the gym every day. What the heck? Oh, so you don't have to stop and think about it. No, I don't think about it. If I think about it, I might not do it. Our number here is 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Please do give us a call. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. On this wonderful Seven Cares Idaho Shares Day. Or I think I said it right. Anyway, Seven Cares Day. How's that? I know that's true. I know that is true. All right. And if you prefer email, it's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Thanks again for joining us. Let's go to the phones. Paul, thank you for holding. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Dave. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, sir.
Hey. Okay, if you got a balanced portfolio, where would you want to start the overweight about now?
Okay, so are we looking for income or growth? Both?
Both.
Both. So if we're looking at that, I would say anything in the U.S. is fine. But if you really want to focus on an area that I think is really interesting for growth is in small cap dividend payers. They just really haven't had a great bunch of years here. That's mostly been large cap. They've also corrected here. So they've all pulled back. But they're just kind of floating under the radar. They're not the typical Procter & Gamble's, but they are growing and raising dividends. And I would look in that particular area for a quick idea. As far as for pure growth, I have got to love these big corporations that are down 30%. The Pricelines, the Netflix, the Amazons, the Googles. You know, and what I mean is go buy a tech fund or a growth fund that's going to hold a bunch of those. This is a huge sell-off for some of those companies. They're in full-blown bear market territory. And sure, it looks like it's going to get worse. That's what it always looks like, right? When you're down 10, it looks like it's going to go down 20. When you're down 20, you know it's going to go down 40. It just feels that way. And then it turns around and things are better. And when we get in these tumultuous times, I think you just have to pull the trigger on great companies. And these are really global leaders. Sure, there's lots of little problems out there with some of them. Facebook, obviously, we're finding out, was really good about sharing our data. And people don't like that and making money sharing our data. And people really hate that. You know, so it's kind of one of those things that I think there are some problems in there. And I think at the same time, although they are holier than thou folks in Silicon Valley, I get it. They're smarter. They're wiser about what I need to be doing with my life because I'm a dummy in flyover territory. But the truth is down at the heart of it, they're not all about mankind. They're bloodthirsty capitalists.
Oh, hell yeah.
So they're going to go out and win the game. They're going to make the changes they need to make, and that's the way I think. And so I really feel strongly that this is exactly when you want to pull the trigger is when everybody hates them and can't believe that they are as bad as they are. They'll change their ways.
Okay. What about like financials or energy?
I can't get into energy, and I'll tell you why, Paul. I know it's really beaten down, and some of those companies, you want to put a little bit there, I'm okay with that. But I really feel like we are going to continue to, because we are. I mean, I said it in the first hour, said it again just a minute ago. We became an energy exporter. This added on to the supply in the world, and the fact that we use less energy per GDP unit, if you will, right, is by a lot. And technology continues to drive that down, our actual energy use. I just feel like there's not a future there. I wouldn't want to be thinking about a 30-year active well that I need to have $60 a barrel or I can't make it work. Right?
Yeah.
So that's the reason why I'm a little negative on it. I think we'll use oil for a while, but in the long run, I really do. I think before my life's out, we'll be flying airplanes without jet fuel. It'll be something we're doing differently than we are now. And, they're going to figure all those things out. And certainly it's happening in cars. This is certainly not a long shot to say electric cars, but the electric grid, Dave, is made by coal. I get it. But do you really think it's going to be made by coal in 10 years and 20 years? I don't. Maybe you do, and that's okay. It's a difference of opinion. But that's why I am not negative on energy, but I can't feel really great about it. On the financials, absolutely. Now that the government is more out of their faces, I feel very good about the financials going forward, especially as dividend payers.
Okay, can I get another question in?
Mm-hmm.
What about this Chinese CEO that was arrested? How's that going to affect things?
That's a big deal. That just shows, again, I know it's hard on a day-to-day basis, but this is a situation that had to be dealt with. I don't want to deal with it either. I'm not a confrontational guy, but Donald Trump is, and thank God he's there, because we've watched an impotent Obama do nothing.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I mean, nothing. I'm not just putting him down. George Bush didn't exactly beat up the Chinese.
Nobody did.
Nobody did. They let them all get away with this for 40 years. Now, on top of that, because they've gotten away with it so long, it's just like a crook. You just keep letting them get away. They get brazen, don't they? Until it reaches such a level that, it's not just Donald Trump. It's we've got to do something about that. This is monumentally dangerous to us. It's not the Chinese, they made a few billion dollars. It should have gone in our pocket, but, it went in there. That's not what's happening. Now they're stealing big time technology, and their goal is to surpass us in what clearly is going to be a driver for weaponry and everything. And that's artificial intelligence. They want to do that by 2025. That's their goal as a country. And run by dictators, it's a lot easier to say that's what we're going to do. So it's a very dangerous situation. I think it needed to be dealt with. I don't want to deal with it either. I don't like it when a friend offends me and I have to say something. I don't like it when my girlfriend bothers me. Okay, she never does. But anyway, my point is that I don't like confrontation either, okay? And I don't want to deal with things with employees. I don't. But we have to, right?
Have to.
And so I think we got to get through this. I think Donald Trump is doing exactly the right thing. And I'm not the only one. People on the left and on the right are going, yeah, kick their tail. This is bad. This is scary bad. Anybody that thinks beyond what the stock market's going to do on Monday knows that something has to be done. And it is getting done under this guy. I really am impressed with how this is going. And I am not worried at this point because we did, as I said before, hit record trade. But this is not just a shot across the bow. This is saying that's enough. Enough is enough. And we are actually came out and told our allies, remember, these guys in bed spying technology and their chips. Go ahead and buy them if you want to. We're not. And we haven't. And so it's really a shot at the Chinese that we're not going to put up with you guys embedding chips in to technology.
Right.
Yeah, it's a very big deal, Paul. I really think it's a big deal. I also think that the Chinese are going to have to acquiesce on this because they're big global traders and they've got much more at stake than we do.
All righty. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate
Thanks,
you.
Everyone.
Thanks. You too.
Bye.
And we have to take a break here for Fox News. And when we come back, let's do get on the phones at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 7 Cares Day, Idaho Shares. Hey, what a wonderful, wonderful day. It really is. I hope you're out and enjoying it. I know we're all kind of rushed and hustled around the Christmas season, everything, there's so much going on and got to go to one thing and another, but
The reality is there is a real meaning to this season. There is. And once in a while, you catch a glimpse of it. And for me, this is the kind of day that you really do catch a glimpse of it. So I hope you do have a chance to really go feel it and to see it, because it is it really can and does change our hearts a good bit when we give. And watching others do it is a special thing. So I hope you get out and enjoy it. I really do. It's one of those things, too, that when we do that, we also take our eyes off of all of the noise. You know, the hustle and the bustle, and I know particularly for women, it's such a tough time of year. It is. I mean, they've got to get everything ready, and you got all the kids' programs going on. You got all this. You got all that. Everybody has to be shopped. This is another really, this season reminds me again very much, although I get daily reminders, how good it is to be a guy. I mean, it just plain old is. It's just not anywhere near as stressful. So I can relate, because there's just a lot going on. An awful lot going on. Now, you didn't tune in for that. There's a lot going on in the markets as well. And as I said before, when we try to look from a 10,000-foot level, things look pretty good. But when we look close, all we see is noise. So I had a call at the very late in the day, and yesterday was our Christmas party, and so I just didn't even have a chance to call the gentleman back, and because I was literally leaving at the moment, and it's a long conversation, right? So the message goes something like, you know, I've been watching this rolling bear market, and, I haven't seen a lot of changes in the portfolio, so I was just wondering what our strategy was going forward. And the answer is, there isn't a different strategy when after markets fall. And I think this is a really important thing to think about, because, you know, it just struck me at the time. In fact, it was something I spoke about for a minute last night at the party when I was introducing our speaker. It's something people think, but it's just not what happens. It's what we think, because that's what the way Wall Street acts, or I should say like CNBC acts. And nobody watches CNBC except when there's market turmoil. You know, we know that by ratings, right? So they're thrilled because the market's in turmoil, because now they actually have somebody watching them besides their mother. So we have a circumstance where it gets our interest because the market's down, and so people watch, and we get a lot of hyperbolic talk, and traders come on, and, yeah, well, we're going to do this. We should put this put spread on, or this dragon spread, and all these things are like, wow, if I only knew that, you know, or I wish my advisor knew how to do dragon spreads and stuff, you know, then my portfolio would only go up. And like never down. Really? And that's what we think, because that's what we're watching. But when we stop, we take a look, just a step back, and we recognize, look, it's not Dave that doesn't have a, like, oh, don't worry, I got this back pocket strategy. Let me pull it out here. Now that the market's down, I think we'll go ahead and put that dragon spread thing on. No. Does Warren Buffett have a strategy for when the market goes down? Yeah. You know what it is? Buy stuff when the prices go down. Well, you know, but you know, I don't want to mean, you know, you're like, you know, put spreads and stay on. Like, no, he doesn't. Well, yeah. What about Peter Lynch? Right. No, they buy when they get price breaks. Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, like Benjamin Graham. Like, no, you know, like Joe Schmo, who's that? Well, you know, I heard about him. I read about him on the internet. You know, he's like, got in 2008, he nailed that, and then he nailed this other thing. And he's got this option strategy, protection on the downside and all that stuff. Or what about like that guy that's going to be on the radio after you? You know, he's got like this, you participate in the market, you can't ever lose money. It's like amazing. Why don't I do that? There isn't People are going to be driven to panic about those things. But stop. The strategy should be in place. What is your strategy? Well, I need to draw income for the rest of my life, and the market has turmoil. The market always has turmoil. Always. You have to assume when there's no turmoil that tomorrow there is. The strategy has already been in place. What do you mean? I mean, you've got all of this cash that's ready to pay out over the next several months, and you've got dividend paying, so they keep paying. Well, yeah, but what if the price goes down? Who cares? Has Procter & Gamble changed its dividend the last 70 years? Yes, it's gone up every single year. Did you hear what I said? It's gone up every year. Do you think the stock price went up every year? Of course it didn't. But it went up every year. The income, the only thing that matters to you. Yeah, but when I push the button, it says I have, you know, $100,000 left. Okay. Yeah, if it's important to you to push the button and drive yourself crazy, I can't stop you from doing that. I actually don't recommend it, but okay. Do that. Do that. Don't. And by the way, you know, that thing you keep kicking in the middle of the night, don't move it out of the way. Don't stop stubbing your toe on it. Keep causing pain. See how that feels. It just doesn't make sense, some of the things we do, some of the things we think. What's our strategy? It's the same strategy we had going into this. And if you have some cash, which everybody does, it's a great time to add income, more income than you deserve, every quarter, all the days of your life for the same amount of money. Do you understand what I mean? If you got one penny per share on an investment, but you can buy 10% more shares for the same amount of money, you get one penny point one all the days for the rest of your life for nothing. For nothing. So think about it. Think about, what do the greats do? They buy. Do they create a new strategy? No. Of course not. Of course not. Their new strategy is to buy when things are low. Be disciplined. And if they want to sell something, sell when it's high. Only sell when the fundamentals change. And as I pointed out earlier, the fundamentals are great. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO, dave@petsofinancial.net. Our final segment upcoming, we'd love to talk with you. Please give us a call. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us today. What a fun day this is going to be. Off to Albertson Stadium for the Seven Cares for a little while, and also, of course, to show up and with a truck full of food. And thank you again to those of you listening who were at our Christmas party last night. What a fun deal! I broke my leg this week, crazy, and it is, even though it hurt a lot. It was a wonderful evening. It did hurt a lot by the end of the evening. There's no question about that, because it is fairly fresh, right? It's only a couple days ago. But it is such a wonderful thing to watch people just having a good time and meeting up with old friends, people they haven't seen in, who knows, some cases we hear stories of that 10, 20, 30 years that they hadn't seen people. But certainly to come and also meet new people, and everybody's having a good time. So it's wonderful, and also to celebrate such a wonderful cause. And it was nice to have Channel 7 there, again, promoting their 7 Cares effort, and to have all of our clients to participate and to give food and money. Donations were very strong this year. And so, again, thank you. It's such a wonderful thing to think about. I talk about this a lot, and I just want to close this out. We worry about the markets a lot, and we do, and I think rightfully in some cases. I think money's a difficult issue. It's people, we all think, okay, we all think we get money right, my way's right, I just want to live for today, that's right, to some people, right? I don't worry about it, you know, I'm really good about it. And people can almost have a like a holier than thou spiritual attitude about it, right? No, I got this thing. Yeah. And then other people who cling to money. They won't spend it. You know, they feel like they have a right to, right? Because they don't need stuff. They're not into stuff. And I think the truth is we all are not perfectly balanced, right? Either we may lean, if you kind of think about it on a boat, we lean too far to the left and cling to money, or we lean too far to the right and we can't even hardly pay our bills, or we're under stress and we can't help people that need help or don't want to. Because, gosh, I need it too. You know, why should I? So we get that, and everybody's wired differently, and I think we just have to understand you're wired differently and move to the center of the boat. Because honestly, if you think about it, whether you think about it spiritually or think about it just in your regular secular balance of life, it doesn't matter what side of the boat you fall out of. It isn't working for you. It doesn't work as well as it should. And I think that's just this constant thing, which is why money is such an important issue. It is. It's important to get right. But the noise around it isn't right. It isn't right to focus on a net worth statement and miss the big picture of income and things like that. That's not right. It creates constant anxiety where none should really exist. So we do have to try to get this right. Getting money right isn't like this weird exercise of just people that, you know, have money, or only those greedy people that think about money all the time. Because those greedy people that think about money all the time but get it right are the people that build all the libraries, all the museums, are at the forefront of drives like Seven Cares. They're the people that support the rescue mission. All those homeless people that have nobody to turn to. Nowhere to go. I don't just mean for the night. I mean for their life. What do you think? You're just like in a tent one day, you know, sitting in the middle of a sidewalk in Seattle or something, and you just kind of go, well, you know, I think it's time to get my act together. Bam. I think I'll go do that. You know, I think it's just time to get off this 20-year drug habit of mine, get my kids back. You know, I'm just changing my ways. How without the love and the support of people who have walked there before, where they have programs to help people get started, where they have ongoing care? It's like, how many times have you tried to lose weight? It doesn't work. You think it's like, oh, I'm just going to get off my crack habit. That's not, it's a piece of cake. 30 days, it should be fine. 90 days for sure. I'm okay. And you used to have the same friends around you, the same habits and all that. You think you're done? Well, the government program says you're done. You're kicked out. You're done. We're over. We're done with you. You need to be done. And then bam, they fail again. And they fail again, and maybe six more times. How many times you try to quit smoking cigarettes? Okay, you never smoked. Good for you. I'll tell you what, for me, it was hard. Hard. Hard to. Even though I was just a young, stupid teenager, it's hard. These aren't easy things. And without the care and support of people, and a roof over their head, food in their belly, and a change of the circumstance around them, they just keep filing into our parks. See, if you don't think about it as human beings, that's fine. Just think about them as these people that are scary that live in the woods next to your house. Oh, I think about them as human beings. I do too. We all do. But I mean deep down, the way the people at the rescue mission, the Salvation Army, care about them. That they want to change their life. They want to change their destiny. You can't just wish it. Nobody's that strong. We just aren't. We're strong in certain areas of our life, right? You and I, we don't have this problem. I don't deal with mental illness, I don't think. Although I talk to myself a lot, maybe I do. I don't know. This is a question up for debate. But the point is I don't have day-to-day issues where I hear wrong directions in my head, for example, right? I don't know what to do. I don't know how to hold a job. I don't know how to function in society. Or I have severe drug addiction. These people do. And the people that care for them need our support. Got to have it, because we got to have those people. Happy Seven Cares Day. Have a great, fabulous weekend. We'll talk to you next week.